interested, I am now close to completing my full first trip on the Bible bus. I start my morning off with the program while I clean my home. I have found that if I miss a program, it makes for a bad day. There is something about giving your first to God that brings Him closer. At least that is how I feel. I've been a Christian all of my life. I was saved at a very young age, but growing up, I did not always act like a Christian. I am ashamed of my past, but know that God has forgiven me. Studying with you has given me a new perspective on my Christian life. I am finally at peace. Well, how great that is. Thanks for your letter, Robin. Well, December is letter month. It's a tradition that Dr. McGee started decades ago, and we'd love to hear from you. So tell us how our time together in God's Word is changing your life. What are you learning from the book of Romans? How's God encouraging you as you pray on the World Prayer Team? Well, you can email us at BibleBus@ttb.org or send your note to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that no matter where we live or the circumstances that we face today, you offer us the peace and assurance found in trusting you and you alone. Help us, Lord, to surrender our lives completely and joyfully into your hands. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now as we come back here to this 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans and verse 26, and we're in this section that deals with the nation Israel, God's future purpose. Right now, for 1900 years, in this age of grace, He's been saving those who believe out of that nation, just as He's been saving out of Gentiles. We're all on the same basis today. But Paul makes it very clear that that does not discount the Old Testament, that God still has a purpose and a future for these people. And in this section, he's talking about the restoration of the nation Israel. Now I'm reading verse 26 and 27. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Now, I think this has been greatly misunderstood, you know, when it says, all Israel shall be saved. He doesn't mean every individual Israelite will be saved. That's not what he's saying. It's national. It's the corporate nation. It is the nation that he has had before us in this chapter, not individuals. It has been a remnant, and it'll be a remnant during the Great Tribulation period after the church is removed. We're told 12,000 out of each of the 12 tribes makes a total of 144,000. Now, I do not know whether that's the total remnant during the Great Tribulation. I think, frankly, that there are probably others. But what he's talking about here is not the individuals, but the nation as a nation. He's talking about the fact that the nation Israel will be saved. Now, the quotation that he uses, the Redeemer shall come to Zion, unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Now, the message to the individual is they'll have to turn from transgression in Jacob to the Lord. Now, there'll be that remnant that will turn. That's the nation Israel that he's talking about, and all of them will be saved. And I wish that I could develop this more. We have a great many scriptures in my book on Romans, Reasoning Through Romans. But the important thing is that you see that he's not speaking of the individuals 100%. There's always been just a remnant. There was in Elijah's day, as we've seen. There was in David's day. And there was in Paul's day. And there's a remnant today. And it'll be a remnant in the Great Tribulation. Now, verses 28 and 29. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now, as touching, or with reference to the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching, or with reference to the election, they are beloved for the sake of the Father. For the gifts of grace and the calling of God are without repentance. That is a change of mind. What Paul is saying here is that he's summing up the preceding discussion. there have been two lines of thought which are seemingly in conflict and contradictory, and both are true. In the first place, Israel is regarded as an enemy for the sake of the Gentiles. That is, so the gospel can go to the Gentiles. On the other hand, they are beloved for the sake of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, a Christian cannot indulge, therefore, in any form of anti-Semitism. That's the point I've made before, I continue to make. Now, the failure of Israel, and our failure likewise, will not alter the plan and purpose of God. The gifts here are not natural gifts. The word has to do with grace. The calling is not an invitation, but it's the effectual calling of God, and that's even without repentance. It's not just shedding the tears. Great many people think they're going to have to shed tears to be saved. Now, I can understand that shedding of tears could be a byproduct, especially of a very emotional person who turns to Christ. But your tears haven't anything in the world to do with your salvation. It's your faith in Christ. And that faith is not meritorious. It's Christ who's meritorious, and your faith enables you to lay hold of Him. Verses 30 and 31, "For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, but through your mercy they also may obtain mercy." Now you see, Paul is writing here to Gentiles. The church in Rome was largely a Gentile church. By this time, many Gentiles were being saved. And he's drawing here a contrast between the nation Israel and the Gentiles. In time past, the Gentiles did not believe. But now a remnant of the Gentiles have obtained mercy. Now, during this same period, Israel, who formerly believed, does not believe as a nation. And Paul puts down the principle by which God saves both Jew and Gentile, and it's by mercy. Just as he showed mercy to the Gentiles, he'll show mercy to the nation Israel. Verse 32, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." That is, all, both Jew and Gentile, are in the awful state of stubborn rebellion and aggravated unbelief. And this means that by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now we come here to this last division in chapter 11. And here is the reason for restoring the nation Israel. And what's the reason? Well, it's locked in the riches of the wisdom of God. Now, my friend, let's put it down that what God is doing is wise, and that what He's doing is right, and that what He is doing is the best that can be done. As we've said before, it's the natural man, and you and I have an old nature that questions God when He makes a decision. I've heard many Christians say, "Why are the heathen lost? Don't receive the gospel? God has no right to do that." My friend, God has every right that's imaginable. He's God. And what He's doing is right. If you don't think it is, your thinking is wrong. He's right. And if you don't think He's being smart, you're wrong. God's not stupid. You are, and I am. But not God, my friend. Oh, how we need to recognize this. Now, he says here, listen to him, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." A glorious place Paul's come to. Paul now puts all of this in the wisdom and the glory of God, or as Godet put it, he says it's like a traveler who's reached the summit of an alpine ascent. The apostle turns and contemplates. Depths are at his feet, but waves of light illumine them. And there spreads all around an immense horizon which his eye commands. Now, this section we've come to is nothing in the world but pure praise to God. And he's not offering any argument at all, yet it's the greatest argument that is imaginable. If you and I do not understand the why of God's dealings with Israel and the Gentiles and ourselves, it's not because there's not a good and sufficient reason. The difficulty is with us today to understand it. I remember that when I took my little girl. She got fever 104 over Phoenix, Arizona. We were driving back from Texas, and I took her to the hospital. Poor little sick thing. She said, "Why, Daddy, do I have to go to the hospital?" She couldn't understand it. She was sick, and she just didn't understand. But may I say to you, her daddy was doing what he did because he thought it was the wisest thing, and because he loved her, and because it was the best thing that could be done under the circumstances. Oh, my friend, all of what God is doing here, you say, "I don't understand it." Then just believe him. Remember, after all, you're a little baby. You won't understand. My little girl, she didn't understand why I took her to the hospital, and the doctor probed around and actually made her cry. That didn't seem to be very good. But oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now listen to verses 34 and 35. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him?" Now these questions that we have here in our authorized version are simple enough. Now the answer is not so easy, and therefore not forthcoming. Now, first of all, who hath known the mind of the Lord? Well, no one knows the mind of the Lord. That's the answer. It was Paul's ambition to know him. Paul says that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And then, who hath been his counselor? No one can advise God. I've seen a lot of church boards that they felt like they were really giving God advice. Well, he doesn't need it. The Lord Jesus, have you ever noticed, he never asked for advice when he was here on earth? One time he said, you remember, "Where will we get food to feed the 5,000? And why did he ask them the question? He knew what he was going to do. He didn't need their advice. In fact, the matter is, he didn't use their advice. They said, "Send them away." Why, he said, "Why, you going to give them something to eat?" May I say to you, God doesn't ask for advice. A lot of folk want to give him advice today. And then three, who hath first given to him? Have you really ever given anything to God? You can't give him anything. Who's given anything to God which put him in the awkward position of owing you something? Why, if you were able to give God something, he'd owe you something. And I think that's one reason that so many of us are so poor today is simply because, friend, that we give him so little. To tell the truth, God says he won't get in debt to anybody. If anybody gives him something, God turns around and gives them more. Someone asked a financier years ago, a wonderful Christian in Philadelphia, says, "How is it that God has blessed you so, and you have so much, and you've been giving away so much?" Well, he says, "You know," he says, "I shovel it out, and God shovels it in, and God's shovel is bigger than my shovel." Oh, my friend, we're not giving God a chance to use his shovel. Most of us are not. You can't do anything for him. Verse 36, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Friends, that just takes me to the mountaintops. "Because out of him and through him and unto him are all things, to him be the glory unto the ages. Amen." Alford labeled this verse the sublimest apostrophe existing even in the pages of inspiration itself. "Out of him" means God is the all-sufficient cause and source of everything. "Through him" means he's the mighty sustainer and the worker in his universe. "My God worketh hitherto, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work." That's what the Lord Jesus said. "And unto him" means God must call every creature to account to him. All things flow toward God. The glory belongs to him, and everything's going to come his way. Are we robbing God today of his glory but taking credit for things we have no business to claim? The glory belongs to him. Oh, my friend, what a section of scripture we've been in, and reluctantly we leave it. And now we come to the 12th chapter of the epistle to the Romans, and this is the last major division that begins here with chapter 12. First, it was doctrine, the first 8 chapters. 9, 10, and 11 was dispensational. Chapters 12 through 16, duty. We come now to the practical application of the theological arguments that we've had before us. Here, the gospel walks in shoe leather, and that's where I like for it to walk. In the first part of Romans, the reader saw displayed the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. But in this last section, the feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and we're to stand for the battle, we're to walk in our life, we're to run in the race. And someone may suggest that we've already had the practical under sanctification. My beloved, the gospel walked in shoe leather there, it's true. But there is a sharp distinction in these two sections. Under sanctification, we're dealing with Christian character. In this section, we're dealing with Christian conduct. There, it was the inner man. Here, it's the outward manner. There, it was the condition of the Christian. Here, it is the consecration of the Christian. There, it was who the Christian is. Here is what he does. We have seen the privileges of grace. We now consider the precepts of grace. Enunciation of the way of life must be followed by evidences of life. Announcement of justification by faith must be augmented by activity of life. Now, something else we should note as we proceed in this last section. Conduct of Christians must be expressed in this world by his relationship to those with whom he comes in contact. These relationships must be regulated in some way. Now, it's so easy to put down rules of conduct, and Paul is not doing that. He's delivered us from the Mosaic law, and he didn't do that to put us under another law. There are a lot of Christians today, and they call themselves separated Christians, and they don't do this, and they don't do about 15 other things. I wish they did do something myself, and I wish they didn't gossip so much. I found out, those folk, you better watch them. Now, they ought to recognize that the child of God is not given rules and regulations, but Paul puts down here great principles that are to guide the believer. The Holy Spirit is giving the believer a roadmap of life, showing the curves, but he doesn't give the speed limit. And he identifies the motels and eating places which he recommends without commanding the believer to stop at any certain one. Detours are clearly marked. There's a warning to avoid them. The city of Vanity Fair is labeled, and the routes of exit are clearly marked. The believer is told to leave without being given the exact route by which to leave. There are several routes. Now we're coming down from the mountaintop of Romans 8, 9, 10, and 11. And we leave the pinnacle of Romans 11, 33 through 36, and we plunge down now to the plain of duty, and I mean plain, the P-L-A-I-N and the P-L-A-N-E, plain duty. This is where we all live. This is where we move and have our being. Now we have this section, first section, faith. Next section, hope. This section is love, and we have the service of the sons of God in chapters 12 through 13. Now, the child of God has a relationship to God. That's in the first two verses. Then a relationship to the gifts of the Spirit, relationship to other believers, relationship to unbelievers, relationship to government, relationship to the neighbor. We're in the world. We're not of the world. But we need to recognize that there is a duty for the child of God in this world. Now, will you notice his relationship to God in verses 1 and 2? Listen to Paul. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, will you let me give you my translation here? Therefore, I beg of you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye yield or present your bodies, your total personalities, a living sacrifice set apart for God, well-pleasing to God, which is your rational or spiritual service. Now you notice the therefore ties it into everything that has come before it. It has immediate connection with that which has just preceded it. But I am of the opinion that he's gathering up the whole epistle. And he says, I beg of you. That's the language of grace, not law. There's no thunder here from Mount Sinai. It's, I beg of you. And Moses' command, the apostle exhorts. That's Paul's method. Could Paul have commanded? Well, he told Philemon that he could have given him a command, but he didn't. Now, this approaches a suggestion that no commandments follow, no fire on Mount Sinai. Mercies of God. And the plural is a Hebrewism. It just notes an abundance of mercy. God who's rich in mercy. God's got plenty of it, friends. He sure has to use a lot of it for me, but he still has plenty for you. And it means compassion and pity and the tenderness of God. His compassions never fail. Then we are called upon to yield, to present. Now this is the same word we had, you remember, back in chapter 6, and it's been suggested that there it's to the mind, while here it is to the will. I think this is a false distinction, for the appeal in both is to the will. In the 6th chapter, it's the way to Christian character is to yield to him. Here it's the way to Christian consecration and conduct, yield to him. And he says your body's your total personality. The body's the instrument through which we express ourselves. The mind, the affections, the will, and the Holy Spirit can use the body. Now, Vincent has assembled these scriptures which reveal this wide latitude. We're told to glorify God in our bodies, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. According to my earnest expectation, my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. We need to recognize the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in him. This is the rational service, and it's well-pleasing to God. This is reasonable. Now, we're going to have to leave off there. We'll pick up there next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Join us next time for more of Dr. McGee's amazing study in Romans. Until then, you may want to visit ttb.org yourself to find resources that are designed to help you deepen your personal study of God's Word. You can always call us as well at 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can help you out and find something particular that you're looking for. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as always, I'll be here saving you a seat on the Bible Bus.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Be washed it white as snow.
Today's study is always available, free to stream or download, thanks to the generous and faithful investments from your fellow Bible Bus travelers. Just go to ttb.org or download our app to listen again anytime. As always, we'd love to know what God is teaching you.
Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Let's declare to the body of Christ that we're walking in the favor of God. Listen. I'm walking in the favor of God. His grace and mercy has brought me this far. I will believe all his word says about me. Lack and poverty is not my destiny, 'cause I'm walking and I'm living. I'm walking in the favor of God. Come on, sing.
I'm walking in the favor of God.
His grace and mercy.
His grace and mercy. Oh.
like a good name.
Favor.
It's over my life.
Favor.
It's over my life.
Favor.
It's over my life.
Favor.
I speak faith.
Over my life.
I got sure enough faith.
Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Well, greetings. Greetings in the name of Jesus. I would like to wish all our radio listeners to have a happy new year. Amen. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Our address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. So come and be blessed. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, once again, we thank the Lord for this wonderful opportunity to come into your homes and nursing homes and prison cells and automobiles and wherever you are to tell you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the reason why we are here on the broadcast, not to make ourselves feel good, but to glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's soon coming back. We don't know when, but we know that he is. And he's coming back for those that are looking for him. So I pray today that all out there in Radio Land that you are looking for the return of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. The one that took all of our sins, sickness and disease, griefs and sorrows, and nailed it to his cross. So I pray today that that we all will keep in mind that the time is winding up and he is soon to come back. So I want to pray for my radio listeners and my faith partners out there in Radio Land. I thank the Lord for you because you are the one with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ is making all of this possible. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our soon coming King, I pray for the radio listeners, the audiences out there. I ask that your will be done today, that hearts will be touched and changed, and that we will keep in mind that you and you alone is the only one that deserves all of the honor and the glory. We thank you for that. Bless them today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we want to look at the Word of God today. My whole primary reason, and I strongly believe that the Holy Spirit is leading me in the direction in terms of souls to be won for the kingdom of God. It is not to tell you about my experiences, and which I have a lot, but that is not why we're here. We're here because we're concerned about the souls of men, of mankind. Praise God. So today we want to look at, first of all, the Word of God in Romans 3 and verse 23. We want to start out there in terms of allowing the opportunity for everyone that tune into the broadcast to realize their position, where they are right now, whether you are born again or not. We all have a position, and there's an expiration that's on all of our lives. We don't know when, but we know the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows everything. So you fall in the category here. I fall in the category at one point there in terms of being a sinner. Jesus saved me, and I thank God for that. So the Bible tells us here in Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned. You see, there aren't anyone that have not sinned. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. He took everything. He nailed it to his cross. What he did is that he was the propitiation or the atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. And you that have not been born again and can be born again through the help of the Holy Spirit bringing forth a conviction in your heart, you will ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come in and take full control of your life. Apostle Paul, speaking to the Church of Rome, he's saying that for all have sinned. The Jew has sinned and the Gentile has sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't that something? Now, if all have sinned, then all needs a Savior. But this is a choice that one makes in terms of whether they want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the ages of eternity, or perhaps they want to hold their own salvation and stand before God and tell them how great they are and things that they have done which will not work. Don't do it. Realize your position this morning and call on the name of Jesus. Minister Glory, we want to read scripture here this morning to let everyone know that since all sin, all need a Savior. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that's able to do all things. So, Minister Glory, would you read that verse of scripture there concerning all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Praise God.
That's what it says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's all.
That's
everybody.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Since everybody sinned, then we need Jesus.
Amen. Because he died for all. In Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, praise God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He was our substitute.
Praise the Lord. He and he alone. Not denominations or any particular mortal man. There was one. His name is Jesus. And he is the propitiation for all of our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He has dealt with that. Since all sin, Jesus died for all. The scripture tells us that in 1 John 2 and verse 2, that he is the propitiation, or perhaps the atoning sacrifice for all sin. Now, it puts us all in a position realizing that we all have sinned. Now, we make a choice in terms of whether we want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ through the ages of eternity, or perhaps we want to hold our so-called salvation in our own hands, which is virtually impossible. But nevertheless, folks believe that they don't curse, they don't kill, they don't steal, they don't do any of these things that's contrary, and they want to stand before God in a self-righteous state. It won't work. The scriptures tells us that it won't work. The Bible tells us that it won't work. I'm telling you that it won't work. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. And many people today are running to and fro, and they are forgetting all about the gift that was given to us all, to humanity. That gift is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that hung there on Calvary's cross for all of our sins, shortcomings, griefs and sorrows, disease, whatever it was, no matter how heinous it was. I want to tell you that Jesus took it and he nailed it to his cross. Now, what is he going to get in the exchange for taking our sins, being our substitute? That's what the Word of God tells us, that he is and was our substitute. Praise God. He took your place on Calvary's cross. You deserve to be not only crucified, but to be held liable for everything that you've done. But through what the Lord Jesus Christ did, he dropped the charges. He became a sin offering for us, who knew no sin. He was made that sin offering that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Praise God. So, Minister Gloria, what a wonderful, wonderful gift. You it read is. In Romans 6 and verse 23.
Yes. Amen.
For the wages of sin is death. But the gift, See the gift.
Amen.
There is a gift that's been offered. There was one who is that gift. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He broke the power of sin. He did it for you and I. Now, Paul, in Apostle Paul, in speaking to the church of Rome, he says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, death always follows sin. And the scripture tells us that you will get paid for what you're doing. You'll get paid if you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have eternal life. But if you're serving the God of this world, of the adversary, then you will get paid for that. But the scripture tells us the wages, there's a salary that's involved. When we look at things, Minister Gloria, we say, well, what are your wages? You know, well, what are you getting paid for? My God, what are you getting paid for? Well, you're getting paid, if you stay on that side of the track, you're getting paid for sin. Amen.
Amen.
You're getting paid for sin. It says the wages of sin. In other words, sin has a salary to it. Most people probably don't realize that, but it has a salary, and it's death. But there's a gift. There's a gift. And Jesus Christ is the gift. He is that gift that God sent to us all. We don't deserve what we have. We cannot boast about what we have. It's all because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the one that deserves all of the honor and the glory. And Minister Gloria says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift. But the gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a present.
Nope.
It's not something you find in stores that people are running around. That's a gift that ultimately, if you put your faith in that gift, you're going to perish. It's all right to bless people with natural gifts and so forth. But the point I'm trying to convey to my radio listeners out there in radio land is that this other gift, there's a gift that keeps on giving. Mm-hmm. He is Jesus.
Amen.
So says, but the gift of God. So if he's the gift of God, which he is, then God had him on that cross. Amen.
Amen.
That's the gift. And he wants us all to receive that gift.
Praise God.
You know, in 2 Corinthians 5, we weren't talking about this, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, it says that, for he, that's God the Father, has made him, that's Jesus the Son, to be a sin offering. See, he was a sin offering for us who knew no sin. Jesus never knew any sin, but he was made to be a sin offering for us. We have no excuse. My God, Paul says that all sin, we all sin, so we don't have any excuse. Thank God for Jesus and what he's done. He broke the penalty of sin. He did it there on Calvary's cross. He gave us all the right to the tree of life if we believe and trust in him and receive what he's done for us. Let's go a little further there, Minister Glory, because you don't want to take too much time in that portion, because we know that the wages of sin is death. But there's a gift out here, praise God. And not just come on Christmas either. It's a gift that's every day that keeps on giving. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Keeps on giving.
In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, for by grace, that's unmerited favor,
yes,
are you saved through faith. And that as not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Now, isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the gift.
Mm-hmm.
Grace.
Grace. Hallelujah.
Paul's telling the folks there that for by grace you are saved.
Amen.
Isn't that what it says? Does it read that
it,
way?
It says, but through faith.
But yes, but for by
grace are you saved.
For by grace are you saved
through faith.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Grace.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we can't boast about what we have.
No.
This is why we can't say, you see, Jesus is the grace of God.
He is the grace of God.
And God the Father sent this grace to us all. This is why we can't boast about anything, praise the Lord. All sin, all needs a Savior. God made it possible to the grace. And Paul was telling the church, he says, for by grace are you saved. I want to try and see how this thing is really unfolding itself. It says, for by grace are you saved, or you are saved by grace?
For by grace are you saved.
For by grace are you saved.
Mm-hmm.
That means that there's nothing that I had to do with this thing,
nope,
but to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, not on him, but believe in him.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Through faith.
Mm-hmm.
Through faith. Our faith must be anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm, and everything that he's done for us on Calvary's cross. Glory to God. For by grace are you saved through faith. We can't boast about it. Can you imagine that? And we can't work it. We can't earn it.
Nope.
You know, we can't earn that, so we just have to have faith in what Jesus did.
What he has done. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Faith in what he's done.
Just believe. That's right.
There are people that are trying to earn the salvation, but you can't earn it.
No. Mm-mm. It's a gift.
It's just a gift.
Yes.
If somebody will come to you and say, well, let's look at this in the natural. There are people that have picked up gifts, so to speak. And they brought it and they presented it to you on Christmas Day. You never earned that gift. It's a gift that they're giving you. The only thing that one would expect is you to receive the gift. How many today have received the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the gift that keeps on giving.
Praise God.
He's the gift that God gave us. Oh, it's so important that we understand that. Jesus is the gift. The gift of God. You know, Mr. Glory, I was meditating on this, and I looked at a gift on the cross of Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
That I have been given the opportunity to receive that gift.
Yes.
Now, God the Father loves us so much that he gave this gift. And many people are rejecting the gift.
That's right. It's freely given.
They're rejecting the gift. But I want to tell you that he still loves them.
Mm-hmm.
He loves them until the day that they expire. Right. In other words, they leave this earth. You know, what are we talking about here? The gift that keep on giving.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's that gift.
Yes.
Not just on Sunday morning or Wednesday or midweek or whatever it is. He's the gift that keeps on giving.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want to tell you today, my God. Don't just focus on the natural gift,
mm-hmm.
the things that you have the ability to be part of, but focus on this eternal gift.
Praise God.
Who is the Lord Jesus Christ. One day you will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, see him as he is.
Amen.
Good God Almighty. Praise the wonderful name of our God.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to his name.
So in Romans 10, 8 through 10, we usually offer this when people don't know Christ. So just open up your heart right now and receive this gift. Amen. It says, but what saith? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That's why we're here on the radio. That's why there's preachers out there, evangelists. They're out there ministering, letting you know that Jesus is Lord. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart. That's the whole idea, believing it in your heart. That God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But with the heart, see, this is a heart problem here. The heart, man believed unto righteousness, which Jesus done it all for us. And with the mouth, you must confess it, is made unto salvation. Then it says, for whoever, that's a whosoever, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. And it is by faith you receive this gift.
Praise the Lord. It's only by faith. As I first stated, you cannot earn this. All God expects us to do is to receive this gift. And Jesus Christ is the gift that keeps on giving. When you believe in your heart, and I don't mean the blood pump, I mean the mere essence of your individuality, which is the core of who you are. That is where you believe. Praise God. Some folks say, well, in their heart. Well, the scripture tells us man believes in his heart. But I want to know, that's the spirit. That's the core of who you are. Because everybody's got a heart that's walking around breathing heart pump. But I want to tell you today that the opportunity is readily available to everyone. And we can do nothing but to receive. You know, Minister Gloria, in Titus 2, he talks about this grace as well. If we are saved by grace, and grace teaches us. And you, Titus 2, verse, I think it's 11 or something,
mm-hmm.
It says here that for the grace of God that brings salvation. The grace of God that brings salvation. We cannot earn what we have. We cannot boast about what we have. The only thing we can do is receive what Jesus has done and thank God for it. Thank God for his grace. Oh my God. Thank God for his grace. Grace gives me the opportunity. Praise God. Grace teaches me.
Amen.
And many folks out there in Radio Land, the scripture tells us that grace teaches us to deny ungodly. A lot of folks say, well, listen, you can go ahead on and keep doing that. God's grace takes care of that. Well, Paul was telling us there in Romans 6, he said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
God forbid.
God forbid. How is it that he that is dead to sin should live any longer in it? My God, thank God for His grace. Oh, that's another subject, but thank God for His grace.
But I like what the grace is teaching us, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts.
Yes.
We should live soberly. Here go that righteously.
Yes.
That's only in Christ. And godly in this present world. That's what it's teaching us.
Yes. But see, this is the thing. Now, we look at it and it says here, for the grace of God that brings salvation.
Grace of God.
He never said anything about me.
Nope.
Or what I'm able to do. Or even trying to accomplish something in a self-righteous state. It's impossible. We cannot save ourselves.
No.
The only one that saves us, He is the Savior.
Amen.
He is the one that rescued us. My God. You know, if all sin, as Paul said, then what happened is that we were rescued.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So Titus tells us that for by grace are you saved.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. That for the grace of God
that bringeth salvation.
That brings, see, grace brings salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Grace brings salvation. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. All mankind.
All men. Not just to the people that came to born again. To all men this grace is given.
Well, all mankind. There's no gender there.
That's
it's
right.
All mankind.
All
everybody.
Mankind. Everybody.
And it's teaching us.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just say because of the grace of God that I can do what I want to do.
Nope.
A lot of folks say, well, you're talking about giving folks a license to sin.
Oh, no.
No, that is not what it says.
No.
You know?
It's teaching us that we're supposed to be denying this.
Yeah, it teaches us to deny ungodliness.
And worldly lusts.
Good God Almighty.
And we should live soberly, you know, and righteously and godly in this present world.
Well, if you understand grace was there on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Jesus is the grace of God. Lord have mercy.
Amen.
Help us out here in Radio Land. I pray for folks out there in Radio Land. And we're not trying to say that we are all this, that, and whatever it is. No. We've all sinned, as Paul said, and came short of the glory of God. But then we thank God for the grace that came to us. I received the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray today that you will receive the grace of God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is grace. My God, He is your Redeemer.
Yes.
He is your Lord and Savior. Open up your heart today and receive Him as Lord and Savior of your life. You don't have to try and earn anything. God is taking care of all of that. All He wants you to do is receive. That's all.
That's all.
It's receive.
That's a gift.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You make the choice to receive Jesus. And I'm quite sure it will be done. The moment that you open up your heart and say, Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as Lord and Savior of my life. And Minister Glory had already said, and Paul said it, and I'm saying it, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that's all you have to do. Just say it. Say, Lord Jesus. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. The word of God says you will be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord,
amen,
shall be saved.
Praise God.
Well, the scripture tells us, how can you call on Him if you have not heard of Him?
Exactly.
This is why we're here on the radio station,
amen,
to tell you about the goodness of Jesus.
Amen.
You hear it, and God will hold you accountable for what you've heard. Well, we thank God today for everything that was forestated, and we pray that the upcoming day, praise God, the new year that is coming in, and we pray that God will continue to watch over us, protect us. Not only the ones that are born again, but everybody, because He loves His creation. Well, God bless you all. Until the next broadcast is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance,
serving